Jesus' name. Amen. When I got an email telling me that this morning's subject was going to be the temptations of Jesus in the wilderness, it had a title attached to it. And the title, if we could bring up the PowerPoint, was The Advantage of the King. The Advantage of the King. That led me straight away back to one of my favourite books of all time. I'm not going to tell you what that is, but we'll come to it in a moment. The truth is that the temptations of Jesus have been preached upon and examined and studied and pulled apart and put back together again virtually since the day they happened. People have been reading this story, reading into this story, studying it, seeking to understand it virtually since the day the devil left Jesus there in the wilderness. And the temptations of Jesus, this story, this remarkable story of the devil trying to get Jesus to fall, trying to get Jesus to sin, trying to get Jesus to give in to temptation, is so incredible and so important that it's foretold in the Gospels, right there for us. We need to understand, we need to have an understanding of this story because it's so important. The temptations of Jesus reveal so much about the nature of Jesus. They reveal much about the tactics of the devil, and the story reveals much about the power of Scripture. The temptations of Jesus teach us how to respond to temptation. They teach us how to examine our own weaknesses. The temptations of Jesus by the devil in the wilderness are a vital part of Jesus' story, revealing so much about his character, about his nature. They reveal so much about the enemy that we have as Christians. They reveal so much about how we should respond to Christ and to temptation. But perhaps there's one overriding question that needs to be asked. And the question is simply this: why? Why? Why did the devil bother in the first place? Here's the devil, got Jesus on his own, out in the wilderness. It's an ideal opportunity, but why bother? After all, Satan knew who Jesus was. He knew what Jesus was. He knew why Jesus had come in obedience to his Father's will. He knew what Jesus' mission was. Satan and Jesus had known each other since the beginning. This isn't a first time meeting. These are two old adversaries meeting again. Jesus was to tell, goes on to tell us, that he was there when Satan fell from heaven. The devil knew all about Jesus. He knew who Jesus was. He knew what Jesus was. Did he really think for a single second that Jesus would actually cave in? Did he really think that he stood a chance? Surely not. You see, the answer is really simple as to why Jesus bothered. Because the devil knew that just the slightest slip on Jesus' part and this would be all over. This would be a waste of time. The devil knew that just the slightest, most insignificant crack in Jesus' armor and his mission was over. The cross would become null and void. Mission failed. And so the devil's reason for trying and trying so hard and grabbing Jesus at his most vulnerable point rather than any other point is to get him to slip, to get him to give in. Because he knew that if Jesus slipped in just one single way, the cross becomes ineffective. There is no point in Jesus carrying on. He may as well just go back to heaven. See, in order for Jesus to deal with our sin, in order for Jesus to be effective in paying the fine for the crimes that you and I committed, he had to be perfect. He had to be perfect. There had to be no flaw. There had to be no blemish. There had to be no spots. The slightest flaw, the slightest blemish, the slightest spot, and forget the cross. It's all over. The Old Testament, we know that a lamb would be taken, would be slain for the sins of the people. And here's Jesus being about to be slain. Here's Jesus coming to be the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And the devil knows that the slightest little flaw, the slightest little chink in Jesus, and the cross is a waste of time. God may as well just take his son back to heaven there and then. The story of the temptations of Jesus in the wilderness by the devil reminds us of three things concerning Jesus Christ. First of all, they remind us of the perfectness of Jesus. Jesus did not give in. Jesus did not sin. Hebrews says that he was tempted in every way as we are, yet he did not sin. Now, I take great comfort in that, because I know how flawed I am, and I know how imperfect I am, and I know how often I give in to temptation, and I could stand here for the rest of the day and reel off a liturgy of my sins that I've committed. And Jesus comes, and he won't commit so much as the slightest sin. He's not got the slightest flaw. He doesn't give in to the most basic of temptations because of the need to be perfect and because he was perfect. Could he have given in? Could he have sinned? I believe he could have. Jesus was fully God and Jesus was fully human. But the temptation reminds me of the perfectness of Jesus and makes me come back again to the foot of the cross and worship in awe and wonder. And that's what this is about this morning. This is why I wanted to say this, because I knew we'd be having communion. We come back again and again and again to the perfectness of Jesus and the fact that the cross was perfect, that Jesus was perfect sacrifice for us. Secondly, the temptations of Jesus remind us of the personality of Jesus. They remind us of the personality of Jesus. In other words, Jesus, being fully divine and fully human, understands me. And man alive, do I take great comfort in that. Jesus understands me. When I got angry with the guy this morning who cut me up coming around a roundabout in Milton Keynes, Jesus understood why I got angry. When I'm prone to fall and fail, Jesus understands. He's been where I am. He knows me. And his personality is such that he can come alongside me and say, Andy, when you're tempted, I've been there, I get it. I sympathize with you and your weaknesses. The story of the temptations of Jesus in the wilderness reminds me of the perfectness of Jesus, and I thank God for his perfect sacrifice. The story of the temptations of Jesus in the wilderness reminds me of the personality of Jesus. They remind me that he comes alongside me, he understands me, he knows what I'm going through. And when I talk to him, he says, yeah, I get it, you're not alone, I've been there. And the story of the temptations of Jesus in the wilderness reminds me of the plan of Jesus. The plan all along was to save me. Wow. I can't give in to temptation. I won't give in to temptation because I've got to save Andy Godfrey. Because I've got to save you. Put your own name in there. And Jesus doggedly refuses to give in to temptation, no matter how tempting it may be, because he says, I have got to save John and Gordon and Penny. I've got to save Keith. I've got to save Andy Godfrey. I've got to save these people because I'm the only one who can. And the only way I can do it is by being a perfect sacrifice. The plan all along was to save you. So why doesn't Jesus give in even though he's hungry, even though he's being tempted? Because you needed saving. And you could only be saved by a perfect sacrifice. And on top of all that, you have someone who understands you. So for me, this is why this story is so key. This is why it's such a central part of the gospel. This is why it's such a central part of the Jesus story. The temptations of Jesus in the wilderness remind me of the perfectness of Jesus, the personality of Jesus, the plan of Jesus. And in a few moments' time, we're going to sing these words. And I hope you'll sing them with even more amazement than perhaps you usually do this morning, bearing in mind the table and bearing in mind what I've just said. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus Nazarene. I wonder how he could love me, a sinner, condemned, unclean, Staggering, isn't it? Stupefying, isn't it? Amazing, isn't it? Incredible, isn't it? Almost too good to be true, but it is true. Jesus' plan all along was to rescue you, so I can't give in to temptation. Satan, get behind me. I've got to rescue Andy Godfrey. I'm not giving in. Satan, get behind me, because I've got to get alongside Andy Godfrey one day and tell him I understand him and help him and be with him and walk with him. Satan, get behind me, because I've got to be a perfect sacrifice. Because only a perfect sacrifice will save Andy Godfrey. The test is what the temptations of Jesus say to us. Now, I did just want to say something before moving on and heading towards the table about the devil himself. You know, far too often we as Christians are quick to blame the devil for all sorts of things, aren't we? The devil made me do this, the devil made me do that, the devil caused me to do the other. I do want to remind you something. The devil can only himself, can only be in one place at one time. The devil can only himself, can only be in one place at one time. Peter talks about the fact that he's a lion roaming around seeking whom he may devour. But the devil can only be in one place at one time. He does have his demons. He does have his minions. The job of his demons is to find out our weaknesses. But the great thing is this, the Lord knows your vulnerable spots as well. So if you think the devil knows your vulnerable spots, be grateful for the fact that the Lord knows your vulnerable spots. Jesus knows where you are weak. Jesus knows when you are at your weakest, and Jesus knows where you are at your weakest. The devil may find that out, but Jesus knows as well. And he's there to help you. And by pointing out those areas in which you are weak, and by pointing out those areas in which you are prone to temptation, we can work on those areas. And we can begin to build up resistance. And we can take practical steps, and we can find that way of escape. And once again, the great thing is that Jesus will walk alongside us, understanding us, helping us, strengthening us to find a way of escape. I mentioned that when I saw Gordon's title for this morning, I assume it was Gordon's, the King's Advantage, or I think it was the King's Advantage. It reminded me of just about my favourite book of all time outside the Bible. My favourite book of all time outside the Bible is this one. And many of you would have read it. C.S. Lewis, The Screwtape Letters. For those of you who haven't, walk out of here, get on Amazon, get on your Kindle, download it, read it this afternoon, please. This is a spiritual classic. It is letters. It's a book of letters, for those of you who haven't read it. Letters from a senior devil to a junior devil. The junior devil has been assigned a Christian to tempt. He's been assigned a Christian to hound, to lead off the beaten track. And he's writing, and he gets letters from a senior devil giving him advice on how to lead this Christian astray. And it's brilliant. It is a classic. I think it's a must read for every Christian. But there's one great line that always stands out for me, and I've got it underlined in my copy here, and I just wanted to share it with you. The senior devil's talking about Jesus in one of the letters. And he says, remember everything the devil says is a lie, okay? So remember, he, Jesus, is not like you, a pure spirit. Of course, Jesus is a pure spirit. Never having been human, so the devil, the junior devil's never been human. But look at this. Oh, that abominable advantage of the enemy. You've seen junior devil, you've never been human. You've never been human. But Jesus has. And look at what the devil thinks of the fact that Jesus has been human. He calls it that, C.S. Lewis describes it as the abominable advantage of the enemy. Because just where the devil knows where you're weak, so does Jesus. The Lord knows your vulnerable spots. The Lord knows your weak spots. And he's there to point them out to you and to shore them up for you. Jesus is human. Jesus is the Son of God. Unique. 100% human, 100% divine. and able to help us in our weaknesses. So something else that comes out of the story is simply this: learn what your weaknesses are. Know yourself. Get to know yourself. Get to know what your weaknesses are. Get to know what your vulnerable areas are. Get to know the areas in which you're likely to be tempted. And then do something about them with the Lord's help, because he's there to help you. And with every single temptation, there's always a way of escape. Sometimes as Christians, we don't want to look for it, because we like, if we're honest, giving into temptation. Quite like giving into temptation. It's fun. Sinning is fun. When I was growing up, we went to an Anglican church. I never understood the phrase in the Anglican prayer book that says, "Lord, we are miserable sinners." Most sinners I know seem to be quite happy about their sin. Do you know where you're weak? Do you know where you're vulnerable? Do you know the areas in which you are likely to give in to temptation? The devil will find them out. But the great advantage that we have over him is that our Lord has been human. He knows our weaknesses. He was tempted in every way as we are. Therefore, he's there to help us. I think the most difficult command in the Bible, apart from Jesus' command in Matthew 5 about not worrying, because I do worry, but I think the most difficult command in the Bible of all is quoted in the Old Testament, several times throughout the Old Testament, and Peter refers to it again in his letter, 1 Peter 1:16. "Be holy because I am holy." That's tough. That's really, really tough. The only way that I can be holy because he is holy is to take a decision that today I will be holy. I can't decide to be holy tomorrow. I can't say, "Tomorrow I'm going to be holy," because tomorrow never comes. But I can say, today I will decide, I will choose not to give in to temptation. Today I will choose to ask the Lord to strengthen my vulnerable areas. Today is the day I will decide to be holy. And that's why I think it's phrased as it is. I can't choose to be holy tomorrow. There's no point in me saying next Sunday I'll be holy. Does that mean never come? Tomorrow never comes. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day I must choose to be holy and not to give in to temptation. And the good news is that because Jesus is human, because he has that advantage over the enemy of having been where I am, he's able to strengthen me and help me and shore me up. So, next time you read the temptations of Jesus, next time you look at this story, remind yourself of all that it tells us about the perfectness of Jesus. Remind yourself of all that it tells you about the personality of Jesus. Remind yourself of all that it tells you about the plan of Jesus. And then say, right, all that being true, today, I'm going to choose today, not tomorrow, today, not to give in to temptation, today. And I'm going to ask the Lord to shore me up, to help me and to walk with me. And I'm going to thank him for that advantage he has over the enemy. He gets me. Jesus gets you. Let's pray together. I just want you to think of for a moment of those areas maybe in your life where you are vulnerable to temptation. Those areas where you are prone to give in. Those areas where you do let the Lord down. Make a decision today. Not for tomorrow, but just for today. Today I won't let the Lord down. Today I won't give in. Today I won't surrender. And if tomorrow comes, wake up tomorrow morning and say, "Lord, today, not Tuesday, but today, I'm not going to give in to temptation today. I'm going to fight the battle today. Because I know you're with me, and I know you're going to walk with me, and I know you understand me. And I know you've been where I am today." Make the decision today. Thank you, Lord, for the plan of the Lord Jesus Christ to save us. Thank you for the personality of the Lord Jesus Christ that loves us so much he wanted to save us, and that says, I will walk with them and be there for them, be their support, and provide a way of escape. Thank you for the personality of Jesus. Thank you, as we're going to remember now as we come to the table, for the perfectness of Jesus and his perfect sacrifice on our behalf. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing that song that I quoted. We're going to sing, I Stand Amazed in the Presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and then we're going to move to the table where we will remember all that Christ did for us, becoming that perfect sacrifice. If you're able to stand and sing this great hymn together.